You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, and I'm joined by Brian McTaggart of MLB.com. Hey, Brian, I'm looking at the spring training at bats. John Singleton's had more than any other Astro. Can you talk about the thinking into this? And I see the batting average is okay, no power. Overall, what's the state of John Singleton's game, and what do you think the Astros think the state of John Singleton's game is?
Well, I think so far so good. I mean, it's not a surprise he is the most at bats right now because, as we've talked before, so much about the roster construction kind of hinges on what he does this spring. So they've been running him out there every day, and the strikeouts are down. You know, he hasn't hit for power yet, but he is having a nice spring with the bat. And right now he's doing enough, I think, to make this club. And like we've talked about before, if he makes the team, that sort of sets off a domino effect on other guys, you know, Evan Gattis and Chris Carter, where do they play? It all kind of hinges on whether Singleton makes the team or not. And now Gattis hasn't swung a bat in almost a week now or played in the game for almost a week because of a wrist injury. So this is something else the Astros did by getting Evan Gattis, even though when it seemed like they wouldn't know where to play him, is now they protect themselves a little bit against injuries, although it was Gattis who ended up getting injured, because now they have extra bodies. So if Singleton ends up making a team and Gattis has a problem with his wrist that drags into the season, then, you know, problem solved. Singleton's your opening day first baseman. But the Gattis injury, I don't think, serious. So, but, yeah, they're gonna give Singleton every opportunity, and they're going to keep running him out there every day, probably for the next 10 days until they're forced to make a decision on what they have to do with him.
And, Brian, as you've talked to him the last year, has his confidence, could you ever tell, is he one of those guys that lets you know his confidence is down? And can you tell what it is this spring? Does he feel like he's getting his career piece back together?
Yeah, I think so. He's a guy he's pretty candid when he talks to you. I mean, he'll wear his heart on his sleeve a little bit. He admits his confidence took a little bit of a blow. It's hard not to when you put up those numbers he did in the minor leagues and they give you a $10 million and then you come up and you're overmatched with the exception of hitting a few home runs. So I think he had to do some soul-searching. He realized he's going to have to go about things differently, just take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit, just slow it down. And he said that a lot this spring, is I need to slow the game down. And that's what George Springer said when he came up last year, and he struggled for the first two weeks. He was like, I need to slow the game down. And finally, when he slowed the game down, he started settling in and became the AL Rookie of the Month for May. What that means to Singleton and what that means to Springer could be two different things, but I think the mindset is there for Jonathan. Slow the game down. Don't try to hit a home run every time. And maybe that's why his power numbers are down a little bit, is that, yeah, he had the power numbers last year, but he didn't do much of anything else. Maybe sacrifice some of your power, put the bat on the ball, drive the ball to the gaps, drive in runs, those sorts of things.
Robbie Grossman has really good spring numbers, and, you know, obviously I don't know how that translates down the road from now, but what would be the role for Robbie going into the season? Let's presume Evan Gattis can play left field. Where does Robbie fit in? Does he get at bats, or does he make the team?
Yeah, if Evan's going to be your full-time left fielder, which I think is ultimately what they want, then Robbie's going to have to compete for a backup outfield job, and he's competing with Alex Presley, who has a little bit more experience. He's got a bigger contract. I think Presley is out of options as well, so that's kind of an uphill battle for Robbie, but Robbie is having a good spring, and if you remember last year, he had a really good spring, was the opening day left fielder, and really struggled out of the gate very poorly, and wound up bouncing between Houston and Oklahoma City and finished the season really strong last year. Robbie's got some tools. I mean, he can get on base. He's a guy that puts the bat on the ball. He's a high on base guy, always has been throughout his whole career. Defensively, he's not a bad outfielder in left field. He'd certainly be way better than Evan Gattis would be in left field. So Robbie brings a lot of things to the table, but by the team going out and adding all the outfielders they added, and even adding Alex Presley last year about this time, there's just a lot of competition now, and maybe Robbie senses that, and that's why he's come out here and had such a terrific spring. But he's going to have to keep it up to make this team, and even if he does, there still might not be a spot for him on the Major League roster anyway opening day.
Colby Rasmus is such an interesting guy, an interesting career. You know, I mean, I think he left a bad taste in some mouths in the Toronto and in St. Louis, but Jeff Luhnow knows him as well as anybody, having signed him originally. What kind of guy is Colby Rasmus, and how is he settling in as the center fielder of the Astros?
Yeah, he seems to be getting along fine. I mean, he you know, you can tell he struck up some friendships with a couple of other guys on the team who are kind of like him, kind of the Southern guys, like the Josh Fields, who's from Georgia. Rasmus is just from across the border in Alabama.
And like yourself, so now, let's say you're not from Back Bay, Boston, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think he settled in just fine. I mean, I really don't envision him being any kind of issues we saw in Toronto or we read about. I think we've talked before, a lot of guys have come to Houston and found homes that maybe were misfits somewhere else that couldn't fit in the clubhouses. Brett Meyer is one of them, even going all the way back to maybe even Jeff Kent was here and he was a model citizen. And even Carl Everett, way back when he was here, he was a model citizen and put up an MVP type season. So Houston's always been kind of the home for guys to come. The media attention is not big. They can come, relax, be himself. Colby's from the South. He's very at home here. He's going to be very at home in Houston. He's got family in Louisiana. So, you know, I think it's going to be a good fit. And if he can swing the bat, that much better for the Astros.
Brian, with 2 weeks left in spring training, what would you say Jeff Luhnow is most pleased about at this point?
Well, I think if you look around at all the competitions they have for different spots, that nothing is really decided yet. And that's because the guys that are going for these spots are all playing pretty well right now. If you look at the bullpen, guys like Joe Thatcher, he's a non-roster invitee, but right now it'd be hard to leave him off the team. And everybody in the bullpen has come out and taken the ball and pitched really well. Even Will Harris, he was a waiver claim. He's come on and he's made a case to be in the team. So you look at the rotation, Asher Wojciechowski, who pitches today, he's done a really nice job going into Friday. Had nine innings, not allowed a run. They're very high on Sam Deduno, or at least they say they are, and he's done a nice job as well. So there's still a lot of competition for the fifth spot in the rotation. And even like we mentioned with Robbie, some of these backup spots, Alex Presley and Robbie Grossman are doing a very nice job trying to make the club. They're making good impressions. Jonathan Villar is playing all over the place trying to make the team. Marvin Gonzalez is doing what Marvin Gonzalez can do. So all the guys that came to camp with something to prove, for the most part, have done a good job trying to prove it. And I think that was one of their goals going into this offseason, was add enough players to where there's competition so guys can't feel relaxed. They know they're going to have to go out there and try to win spots on the team. Nothing's going to be given to anybody.
And you've been around a lot of managers. What is your impressions of A.J. Hinch? What are the things you like most about him in running this club?
Well, number one for me is just communication with the players. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in that clubhouse that does not know where they stand. And that could be on a day-to-day basis. If you're not sure where you stand, go into his office. The door's open. He'll tell you, and he'll be honest. And he's not going to sugarcoat it. And, you know, I think players want that. I think maybe some players might not want to go in the door because they're going to know he might tell them something they don't want to hear. But one of the interesting things he said before spring camp even started was that that some of the players might not be happy with their traveling during the spring. Maybe they're going to have to make more long trips. Maybe Jose Altuve would have to go down to Jupiter, which is a 2.5-hour drive. And he said, well, if Jose Altuve is not happy with that, he can come talk to me about it. He's like, if that means I sit down and talk with Altuve for 10 minutes, he said, that's good. That's positive communication because now we can get a dialogue going. So the communication part to it, I think, has just been very, very impressive. And, you know, he's got a psychology degree. I think he really knows what he's doing as far as the I don't want to say mind games, but he's been a player. He's had to fight for spots on teams. He knows where the players are coming from. He's got a psychology degree. He knows what's going through their mind, especially these last couple of weeks or spring, where half the people in this clubhouse are wondering, am I going to be in Houston on opening day?
You know, Brian, you know what occurred to me? I watched baseball in the Astrodome before you were even born. What do you think about that?
You know, I'm not so sure that'd be even true, but I'm not as old as I look. It's probably because of my hair, but Astrodome's about to be 50 years old, so you must be going way back.
All right, great stuff, Brian, like always, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night, on every device. Visit MLB.tv for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.